the potter and the clay. Just as the potter had control over the clay on his wheel, so the Lord is sovereign. He is sovereign over nations. He is sovereign in our lives. The question we ask ourselves is, who is your Lord? Who is the Lord over your life? In Romans 6:16 we read, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants, to obey his servants, you are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness." Don't you know that you are servants and you have a master? To whom do you offer yourself? Every one of us has a master. A master that determines our behavior and our actions. If our master is money, then everything you do is centered around money. If your master is power, then your life is centered around and try to obtain that power. So let us ask ourselves again, who is our master? Who is in charge of our life? Now, of all the people you can place at the center of your life, only one truly belongs. For we are created in a way where the throne in our hearts is reserved for our Creator, our God alone. Now, we may have freedom to place other things there, but you find that at the end of the day, you are woefully inadequate and unfulfilling, because that's not where you're supposed to be, because that's where God is supposed to be. And in the end, you will find that you need God, and that God is ultimately the one in charge, whether you acknowledge it or not. And then you would have wished that you had followed him instead. Now, when God told Jeremiah to get up and go and watch the potter work, the nation of Israel was in a state of crisis. It was a kind of spiritual crisis. The nation of Israel that belonged to God, that was blessed by God, had forgotten God. God was no longer sitting at the center of their lives. He was no longer the master. They had forsaken God and went to fetch other things. Things that brought them earthly pride and pleasure. So God took a back seat in their lives. But God will not sit idle. God will not settle for second place in their lives. For God was their creator. That's because God is a jealous God. Now, we often think of jealousy as a bad thing. But jealousy can be a good thing when it is warranted. God is jealous because God is loving. Let's suppose that a wife looks at her husband's wallet to take out some money, and all of a sudden a picture of a beautiful woman whom she has never seen. And she asks, "Who is this?" And he says, "Oh, she's a friend. When I can't talk to you, I talk to her. She's understanding and caring. And that's always when I need her." Now, won't you think that that woman would be very jealous of her husband? God is the same way. God is the potter. We are the clay. God designed us, he created us, he molded us, and made us to be his. And when we wander from him, God has a right to be jealous. So when the nation of Israel was wandering away from God, God didn't stand back and say, "Oh, it's okay, have a good time." No. He sought to bring them back. God wanted them back to himself. And here is where Jeremiah is sent to the potter's house. And it's there that he sees that the potter are working on the clay. And he learns some valuable lessons. In verse 3 we read, "And then I went to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels." You know, the wheels of the potter. "And the wheel and the vessel he made of clay was marred. It was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." Let us look at that picture again. First, notice that the vessel, the pot, he was shaping, was marred in the potter's hand. It doesn't say that the potter marred it. It just says that the clay was marred. The clay was resisting the touch of the potter, so that the original design became flawed. Isn't that a wonderful illustration of mankind, of creation? The Bible tells us that God, after he created everything, he looked around and said, "It was very good." But what happened was that he also gave one command, and man did not follow it. "Do not eat of the fruit of the tree of life." Now, if you were the potter and clay, and the clay refused to yield, what would you do? I suppose most of us, if the clay doesn't yield and half completed, you will throw it away in the dustbin and start with a new lump of clay. But that's not what the potter did. He kept the wheel turning, and he patiently worked with the clay. He made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. I really like those words. He made it again. The clay was marred, and he made it again. I think of Abraham. Remember Abraham, the man of great faith, who one day disobeyed God, and he left the promised land for Egypt. And while he was in Egypt, he fell into sin and lied about his wife. In fact, because of his disobedience, he lost his wife. Almost. But what did God do with Abraham? Did God reject him and throw him in the trash heap? No. He made it again. He gave Abraham another chance. And as a result, Abraham became a great servant and was known as a friend of God. I think of Peter. Remember Peter, the great man of courage? Peter said to Jesus, "Though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Yet Peter denied Jesus 3 times. What did God do with Peter? He made him again. Jesus forgave Peter and restored him to discipleship, and Peter became one of the greatest soul winners of all times to the glory of God. I think of David, a man after God's own heart. He committed adultery. He lied. He killed. What did God do with David? He made him again. Perhaps today you are living under a dark cloud of despair, a defeat. Perhaps you have disobeyed God and have sinned against him. I mean, Satan is saying, oh, God is finished with you. Listen, listen, God will forgive you and make you again. God isn't through with you. Do not need to despair. Lift up your head. He will make you again if you will surrender to the will of God. There are many people who are living under the shadow of despair because they think God is through with them. Somewhere along the line they may have sinned. They have failed to yield to the Lord. And now they are convinced that it is the end. They may like to go back to church, like to serve the Lord again, and they feel it's impossible, it's all over, God is through with them. I'm not saying that God minimizes sin. He doesn't. In Romans 6:1-2 we say, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? God forbid. You see, God chastens his people. And he will continue to chasten his people who disobey him. If one of the children refuses to obey and persists in deliberate sinning, God will chasten him. Let us turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 11. This is how God chastens us. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 11. Hebrews 12, verses 5 to 11. Let us read it together. Hebrews 12, beginning from verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and spareth every one whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he to whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, ye have fathers who corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verify for a few days chastening after us for their own pleasure, but for our points, and we might not be partakers of the holy ones. Now, though chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous, nevertheless, afterward yielded the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. See, God chastened us, but he will make us again. He will make us again. Paul tells us in Romans that all of creation is groaning and delivering from the curse. That says to me that everything we see has been affected by what had happened. It's easier for us when things don't seem to be what they think they ought to be, to question God and to blame God. But the truth is that many times things that they simply do not represent things as God in the first place. You see, we live in a marred world. We live in a world that is constantly disobeying God. Look at the shooting in schools in America. Many children are killed. Look at wars, famines, strife. This is not the world that God made. The world is marred. And mankind is the same way. I think most of us just try to hide the lumpy old clay and hide it somewhere. But over time, people begin to see how marred we are. We're marred relationships. at home and in work. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the beautiful thing is what happens next. The potter was shaping the vessel with his hands when it all collapsed on him. The shape did not take in the clay, it was ruined. As Jeremiah recorded, it was marred. And who noticed what happened next? The potter did not throw the ruined piece into the corner or into the trash can. He continued to work in with it and reshaped it into another vessel which seemed good to make. In other words, he began again from scratch with the same clay and gave it a shape that was good and would hold its form. And God said it to his people, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. When we are flawed, when we are marred, here is the good news. God can remake us. When we fall apart at the seams, God can put us together again. God is telling Jeremiah to tell the people, yes, you have messed up, you have disobeyed, but I can rework you. I can still form you in a vessel that is good and useful. Many of us may feel we are no longer useful to God. We are cracked. We are a crackpot. We have many flaws. We have many mistakes. We have many stains. But here is the good news. If anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In Christ, the hope of glory. For when he was resurrected, he told them, I will send you the Counselor and Comforter, and he will be with you. The Spirit of God in each one of us, the hope of glory. What a wonderful promise that God has given to us. Yes, God can work that old clay and turn it into something. God tells Jeremiah that if a nation that was doomed to destruction repents, God gives them another chance. And if we have failed, we have made a mess in our life, let me tell you that God is still at the potter's wheel, ready to rework your life into something wonderful. You see, remember John Newton? He was a man whose life was going downhill. He worked as a slave trader. He was a drunken man. It got so bad that he got drunk and fell off the ship. And his shipmates had to harpoon him to bring him back again. We would say, what a waste. But God gave John Newton another chance. And one day when fearing his life was, while going through a storm at sea, John Newton gave his heart to Christ. And later, this slave trader turned preacher. And he wrote the words of his life in a hymn. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found, was blind, but now I see. And this is the song we were going to sing at the end of this message. Amazing grace, how sweet a sound that saved a wretch like me. In the same way, God is willing to rework your life today, no matter how marred, how much mistakes you have made. You have to yield to him and repent. The potter has a purpose, and every touch is forming and transforming you into a vessel of honor, something beautiful. God is a merciful God, and he will honor us and remake us. As we read in 2 Timothy, let me read to you 2 Timothy 2:20, 22. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. So flee away from lust. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. God here is calling us to cleanse ourselves, to repent, and he will make us useful to him. To have a clean speech, a character, and a Christ in you. Let us now look at some applications from this passage for our daily walk with life. First, recognize that God is the potter and you are the clay. God has a purpose for your life. When a potter sits down to make his pottery, he has something in mind what he wants it to look like. And so much in the same way, God has a plan for your life. But God has given us the freedom of choice. God has a reason for each one to be here. In Ephesians 1, chapter 11, verse 12, we read, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of his life, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. You see, we have been predestined. God will work his will in us when we come to him, when we accept our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You may not know what your part is, you may not know what is going to be, but no, God has called you. He hasn't revealed everything to you, but he has every detail in his plan. Our job is to listen and simply be obedient to the will of God. And the potter is patient with his clay. So he made it again. For he knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are dust. If the clay refuses to yield, it sometimes becomes so hard that the potter can't shape it. What happens? He doesn't put the clay on the shelf and forgets it. No, the potter lovingly and patiently deals with us to bring us to himself. For God has an investment in each one of us. For Jesus Christ shed his blood to save us from our sins, for our salvation. This is what Jeremiah is saying. Again, another vessel. I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit you. As Apostle John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. God is faithful. God is faithful to His promise. What does that mean? Well, Jesus Christ paid for all our sins on the cross, and we have to accept Him as our personal Savior. We sing the song, "It is well with my soul." Yes, this man said, "It is well with my soul." All our past sins were saved and by His blood. Let us come to Him, accept Him as our personal Savior. Let us not forget that the death of Christ on the cross and the ascension that He has made for us. For now He sits at the right hand of God and makes intercession for us. That though we are disobedient and defeated, He made it again. He made it another vessel and seemed good to the potter to make it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. So don't punish yourself. Don't live under a dark cloud. God will forgive. God will forget. He will bring you out into the sunlight of His blessing. He will remake you. He is a potter. You are the clay. All that the clay has to do is to yield and to come back to Him. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He purifies us. God will work in us that will be best, which ultimately is best for all of us. Although it may seem like at that time we do not know, but He will make us into something wonderful. God, the potter, is at the wheel, and He is working something beautiful in you and me. Let us yield to God. Let us yield to His touch in our lives today. Let us give our lives to Him. Will you allow Him to be in charge of your life, to make you and mold you as He seems fit? The choice is with each one of us. Let us come to Him this day and not forget His blessings. Amen.